Today is the 20th day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire. It's great to be here with you today, coming from the holy city of Jerusalem. This is kind of where things end. We kind of camp out here and spoke out from here. We spent the day in and around the old city yesterday. We'll talk about that. We're going to head into the lowlands for some of the day today, which we'll obviously talk about tomorrow after it's happened. But it's great to be here in the present, in the now, taking the next step forward on the grand adventure that is the Bible. And so let's jump in today. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 7 through 10, verse 20. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Approach the altar and present your sin offering and your burnt offering. Make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then present the offering for the people. Make atonement for them, just as the Lord has commanded." Aaron approached the altar and slaughtered the calf as a sin offering for himself. Then Aaron's sons presented the blood to him. After he had dipped his finger in the blood, he put it on the horns of the altar, and he poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Then he turned the fat, the kidneys, and the protruding lobe of the liver from the sin offering into smoke upon the altar, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. But the meat and the hide were burned with fire outside the camp. After he slaughtered the burnt offering, Aaron's sons brought the blood to him, and he splashed it against all sides of the altar. They brought the whole burnt offering to him piece by piece, including the head, and he turned them into smoke on the altar. He washed the inner organs and the legs and turned them into smoke on top of the whole burnt offering that was on the altar. Then he presented the offering for the people. He took the male goat for the sin offering for the people, slaughtered it, and made a sin offering with it, as he had done with the first one for himself. He then presented the whole burnt offering and carried out the offering according to the regulations. Next, he presented the grain offering. Taking a handful of it, he sent it up in smoke on the altar, in addition to the morning burnt offering. When he had slaughtered the offering of one of the cattle and of the ram, as the people sacrifice for fellowship offerings, Aaron's sons brought the blood to him, which he splashed against all sides of the altar, and the fat pieces from the offering of the ox and the ram, the broad tail, the layer of fat, the kidneys, and the protruding lobe of the liver. They laid the fat pieces on the breasts, and he turned the fat pieces into smoke on the altar. Aaron waved the breasts and the right thigh as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. After he had presented the sin offering, the whole burnt offering, and the fellowship offerings, he came down from the altar. Then Moses and Aaron entered the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat pieces on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell on their faces. Now Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, each took his incense pan, put coals on it, and laid incense on it, and they presented unauthorized fire in the Lord's presence, which was not according to his command. Then fire came out from the Lord's presence and consumed them. This is how they died in the Lord's presence. Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord said: I must be treated as holy by those who are near me. I will be glorified in the sight of all the people." but Aaron remained silent. Then Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Uzziel, Aaron's uncle, and said to them, "Come forward and carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the sanctuary." They came forward and carried them outside the camp by their tunics, just as Moses had ordered. Then Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons, "Do not dishevel your hair and do not tear your garments, so that you will not die, and so that wrath does not come down on the whole congregation. But your relatives, all the household of Israel, may weep because of the blazing fire that the Lord has ignited. You must not go outside the entrance to the tent of meeting, or you will die, because the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." So they did as Moses had ordered. The Lord spoke to Aaron, "When you enter the tent of meeting, you and your sons shall not drink any wine or beer, so that you will not die. This is a permanent regulation throughout your generations. You must distinguish between what is holy and what is common, what is unclean and what is clean, and you must teach the Israelites all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them through Moses." Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons, "Take the grain offerings that are left over from the offerings for the Lord made by fire, and eat them as unleavened bread beside the altar, for they are most holy. You shall eat them in a holy place, because they are your allotment, and the allotment for your sons, from offerings for the Lord made by fire, for that is what I have been commanded. But you and your sons and your daughters as well may eat the breast that is waved, and the thigh that is elevated in any clean place. For they have been assigned as something due to you and to your children, as your allotment from the sacrifices of the fellowship offerings of the Israelites. In addition to the offerings made by fire from the fat pieces, they are to bring the thigh that is elevated and the breast that is waved in order to wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. They shall be a permanent allotment for you and for your children with you, just as the Lord has commanded." When Moses inquired about the goat of the sin offering, he discovered that it had already been burned. He was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons, and said, "Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the proper place in the sanctuary? It is certainly most holy, since the Lord has given it to you for burying the guilt of the community, for making atonement for them in the Lord's presence. Since its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary, you definitely should have eaten it in the sanctuary, just as I commanded." Aaron replied to Moses, "Even though they presented their sin offering and the whole burnt offering in the Lord's presence today, such things have happened to me. Would the Lord have approved if I had eaten the sin offering today?" When Moses heard this, he approved. Mark 4, 26 through 5, 20. He said, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed on the ground, and while he sleeps and rises, night and day, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. The ground produces fruit on its own, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. When the crop is ready, he swings the sickle without delay, because the harvest has come." Then he said, "To what should we compare the kingdom of God? Or with what parable may we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is one of the smallest of all the seeds planted in the ground. Yet when it is planted, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the sky can nest under its shade. With many similar parables, he continued to speak the word to them as much as they were able to hear. He did not speak to them without a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." After leaving the crowd behind, the disciples took him along in the boat just as he was. Other small boats also followed him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were splashing into the boat so that the boat was quickly filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to drown?" Then he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind stopped and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still lack faith?" They were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." They went to the other side of the sea, into the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as Jesus stepped out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. The man lived in the tombs. Nobody could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he pulled the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. Nobody had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, in the tombs and in the mountains, he was constantly crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down in front of him. He cried out with a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you to swear by God not to torment me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "because we are many." He begged Jesus repeatedly that he would not send them out of the region. There was a large herd of pigs there feeding on the hillside. The demons begged him, "Send us to the pigs so we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission. The unclean spirits went out and entered the pigs. Then the herd of about 2,000 pigs rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned. Those who were feeding the pigs ran and reported this in the city and the countryside. People came to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it described for these people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and they told them about the pigs. They began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to stay with Jesus, but Jesus would not let him. Instead, he told him, "Go home to your people and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." The man left and began to proclaim in the Decapolis everything Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Psalm 37:30-40. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. His tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spy on the righteous one and seek to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in their hand. He will not let him be condemned when he is put on trial. Wait for the Lord and keep to his way. He will raise you up to take possession of the earth. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I saw a wicked, ruthless man. He was rooted like a green plant in its native soil, but he passed away. Just like that, he was gone. I searched for him, but he could not be found. Take note of the blameless. Look at the upright. Yes, there is a future for the man of peace. But rebels will be completely destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of stress. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked. He saves them because they have taken refuge in him. Proverbs 10, 6, and 7. Blessings crown the head of a righteous person, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. To remember a righteous person is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Okay, so yesterday in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus began to use kind of agricultural parables, examples. Certainly this would be very familiar to those around him in the Galilee, very familiar to his own life experience. And we see that he's not done discussing things like soil and seeds today. Yesterday he compared seed to the Word of God and soil to our hearts. Today he expands that metaphor to all of God's kingdom. He gave this parable about a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. And then he explains that the growth of the seed that is planted begins to happen. And it's happening both day and night. It's happening continually without the farmer understanding how that growth is taking place. But that the farmer has faith and counts on it taking place and patiently waits for the harvest. And then Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to this tiny mustard seed. It's one of the smallest of all seeds, he says, but it becomes one of the larger or the largest of all the garden plants. So the metaphors Jesus is using for this kingdom that we claim allegiance to are significant and important. Jesus was telling us that the kingdom is happening all the time, day and night, growing. It is a collaboration, right? The seed and the soil work together for the growth. And that even though it begins so small, it grows and flourishes and gives life as we patiently cultivate and participate and are patient for the harvest. So the kingdom, then, as Jesus is teaching, is everywhere. And the kingdom is not something yet to come, but is now and already here. Even though its fullness isn't already here, it is happening night and day now in us. We are it. We are the soil. And so even though we're waiting for this fullness of harvest, we are to be diligent in cultivating first into the soil of our own hearts as seeds are planted, nurturing the growth and nurturing for the harvest of the fruits. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the kingdom. So this is not simply this external process in which we just collaborate somehow in the world. It's something within us, as near as the soil of our own hearts. Which means that we have to take stock in what we are allowing to be planted in the soil of us. What we are allowing to be put in us, inside of us. What we are allowing to grow inside of us. Because invariably that is what we will be planting in the world through ourselves. What is planted is what we are going to plant. And so we must become self-aware and pay attention and probably do the hard work of unlearning what has been imprinted upon us and unlearning like the repercussions of our own woundings. And this, my friends, from personal experience, is an ongoing, never-ending process that is very, very difficult. And yet, this is the work of tending the field. This is the work of cultivating the soil. And so, we can claim allegiance to a kingdom, or we can understand that it is within us, and we have a choice to participate in it. So Holy Spirit, we invite you, Spirit of Truth, to lead us into all truth. And yet again, the mirror of the scriptures become apparent. We are looking at ourselves and being challenged, because so often all we do is blame everything and everyone else when we have to tend to what we are allowing inside of us. Because that is going to grow. And that is going to affect everything around us. Because that is what we are going to plant. And so Holy Spirit, come. Help us cultivate. Help us do the weeding that is necessary. Help us face the truth of ourselves. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Welcome to Whatever This Is with Jill
and Brian,
and we are coming to you from the holy city.
Yes,
of Jerusalem.
Jerusalem edition. First day.
Shalom.
Shalom. We arrived here last night. We talked about all that.
Did we really? We didn't spend a day here yesterday.
No, we didn't. We got in. We got in end of day yesterday, and so we've been here like 24 hours.
Ish.
Wow. Seems like several days, but we've been here
for... absolutely does.
So today, our first day in and around Jerusalem, the old city, largely. And, you know, this is a... I mean, Jerusalem is a different experience.
Yeah.
So wilderness is a different experience. Galilee is a different experience. Jerusalem is its own thing.
Yes.
Altogether. And so, and every single facet of what we have designed tediously over many, 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 many years matters. Everything, every piece matters, every bit matters. Jerusalem is just a much more intense place to be.
Uh-huh.
And so
let's give them an example. Like,
sure.
It would be like going from I'm trying to think of something in the States. Someplace, I don't know, like going from the spa to Costco on a Sunday.
How about like going from a weekend on the lake to Times Square?
There you go.
And so it's just a very different thing.
But not everybody has a Times Square reference, so that's why I was thinking.
But okay, yeah, you're well, right. Between the two of us,
maybe you can got it, pick your analogy.
Just, you know, more congestion. It's a big city. We're in some very ancient places. A lot of beauty, but a lot of, you know, conflict in different ways because of different holy days for different like religious things that are happening here. And there's a lot. A lot of beauty, though.
Narrow roads with heavy traffic.
Yeah.
So a lot of horns honking.
But it's unlike anywhere else.
Yeah.
And it's an irreplaceable part of the experience.
Sure.
So up this morning, and I gotta admit, this was the easiest first part
of the day.
Because the first thing that we do today is to go up onto the Temple Mount.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, like, we get up early and get in line early. And it was significantly easier to get up there than I don't think ever than I've remembered. So I was grateful for that.
Yeah.
The Temple Mount is the location of the Herodian Temple, the temple that Jesus knew. That temple has long been destroyed. It was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, after a revolt by the Jews. The Romans came in and just, like so many other people, like the Babylonians did before them, destroyed everything. Destroyed the temple, destroyed the city altogether. And clearly the remnants of that destruction are visible today. But the temple, like, there's nothing left there of it that can be visibly seen, really. And it is a Muslim holy site at this point. So, like, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is a famous mosque in Islam, is there. The Dome of the Rock, which is iconic, building in Jerusalem, is up on top of the Temple Mount. And so it's, you know, this interesting thing to go up there and it be such a pivotal location in the Bible.
Yeah.
That is so different and has such a different feeling up there than, than pretty much any other place. But also a can't miss. I mean, it's so deeply impressive to view and be up there and walk around and see and experience and learn. And so we got up and we went up and we walked around and we did everything, walked all the way around it.
And it started raining.
Just a little bit. That's the only kind of part, just a little spitting of rain. Not bad.
No.
And it ended fairly quickly and we didn't have any more issues with anything like that. Everything on the Temple Mount, we walked around and experienced, and I think I said it the best I can. It's a conflicted feeling, but it's also very impressive to be up there.
For sure.
And
you wouldn't want to miss the temple.
Yeah.
The place where the temple was built, destroyed, and rebuilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we did that. Walked all around. Came out in the Muslim quarter. So there's different quarters in the old city. the Christian quarter, the Armenian quarter, the Muslim quarter, and the Jewish quarter. And we came out in the Muslim quarter, went down away from the Temple Mount to the pool, the pools of Bethesda.
Bethesda.
And there is a church there known as St. Anne's. This is a church commemorating the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
So the grandmother of Jesus in tradition. And
Jesus's grandmom.
Yeah. It's a Crusader era church.
I wonder what he called her.
We have no reference for that. That's all speculation. And I don't even know how to speculate, so I'm not going to.
No, it's just fun to wonder. Was she like Nanny?
I love wondering those things too. The humanity of Jesus is a beautiful thing.
It really
is. So thinking of those things is fun.
Yeah.
But complete conjecture, since it's not kind of given to us in the scriptures. But there are so many church traditions that are so ancient about that family, and especially like in the Greek Orthodox tradition, and love it all. So that church is there, right at the pools of Bethesda. We all gathered at the pools of Bethesda because it's such an important moment to locate Jesus in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
We talked about the man that had been there for 38 years and Jesus coming to him. And it's like the pilgrimage comes down to that place in a way. And thinking about 38 years of what we might have carried around.
Well, you got to give a little context of the story. He is paralyzed, right?
Yeah.
And he can't get into the water. And these waters were healing because the angels stirred the waters first thing in the day.
So it was said. Like from Greek times, that water was believed to have healing properties. And then Roman times, there's this idea that the bubbling of the water is the stirring of the angels and it will heal you. So this man has been trying to get in because you got to be the first one in, as the tradition goes.
Yeah, and there's just so many facets to the story that I wonder and see myself into. Like, 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
How does he not ask someone to help him get in the water?
I think he does. It's just...
He
doesn't
make it.
You gotta be first. I guess that's how the myth or the tradition went.
And so the frustration of being there time after time and not being able to be the first one in the water to be healed.
Yeah. And Jesus talks to him about that. The man explains the situation. And that's where the Bible can become a mirror when we think about what we've carried around and wished to be different for so long. And Jesus just asks them, do you want to be made well?
Yeah.
And that was the challenging question from that spot. And we kind of left that there. We got the chance as a group to go into St. Anne's, and it's famous for its acoustics.
World renowned.
It just, the way it's constructed, the natural reverberation inside that chapel is heavenly.
It's heavenly, yeah.
Really a special place to hear yourself, and so you came up and led it in front of everyone and sang, and everyone sang along with you, and it just kind of spine tinglingly beautiful and heavenly and moving, and it that it always is. And
thank you
for everyone's voice to join in with your voice and just to hear it.
Yeah, it's really hard to keep it together and sing and listen to the voices, the harmonies. And
I got a good video of that for the daily video that we put up. So, like, I'll just say this now. Everything that you hear us talk about on whatever this is, there's like a daily video on all the Daily Yeti Bible social media channels that you can see what we're saying. And so make sure to just tune into that if you're curious. And this is one of those things that is capturing a very, very special moment as a community singing together with you and listening to it just echo to the heavens. Beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I loved it.
It was an honor. I mean, that place is so... It sounds so amazing in there.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it's just the acoustics. But I remember the first time singing in there. And it doesn't mean that this is what happened, but I could have sworn there were additional voices joining with us singing.
Yeah.
That were not... I know that sounds a little, you know me, I don't grab at those sort of things, but that really did feel... I think it's just the place. It's so special acoustically and sonically and...
Very. So, that place is also kind of thought to be, or there's some tradition around that being the birthplace of Mary, and so down below there's some little chapels.
The birthplace of Mary or Mary's mother?
Mary.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I not catch that? Oh, no, we did. We went downstairs.
Yeah.
I just forgot.
I mean, all of that's tradition, church tradition, but goes back a long ways. And so it's just, you know, it's okay to just imagine or consider or, you know, she was born somewhere.
Right.
And so That's a fascinating thing to see. That's a beautiful place to go, and it was a beautiful moment to have, both inside and outside, at the pools and inside St. Anne's.
Yeah, I love that little place.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, where do we go?
South Steps.
Yeah, so, okay.
Right?
That's right. So we went over to... I think it's called the Davidson Archaeological Park, and this is...
Wait, did we go north or south or southwest?
I think we came into the west and then went to the south.
Okay, thank you.
I believe that's how it worked. And we were at the...
I knew you would know.
The southwestern corner of the wall.
Yeah, it was like, I really needed to know which direction we were going.
Yeah, so... Now that you got that.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, this is some archaeology that is all around the Temple Mount. And so some of the archaeology that goes back to the Temple period and the first century period of Jesus' life. And also some of the evidence of the destruction of Jerusalem, the roads. I mean, how they threw everything down and it just demolished the roads below and...
Yeah.
It's just a very, very fascinating place to go. And so some of the archaeology we viewed, ultimately making our way to the Southern Temple steps. And those were the steps into the temple. They are steps to nowhere now.
Yeah.
Like they are steps that go straight into a wall.
Yeah.
But they are the original steps. And... Some of them are the original steps going into the temple. And those steps are very meaningful because those are steps Jesus climbed into the temple complex. And rabbis would teach on those steps. So it's not unlikely that Jesus taught on those steps, but he for sure walked to them. And so And they're not reproductions in any way. Like, those are the original. And so it's one of those places that you can sit or touch and know, like, you're in a place that is the place.
Yeah.
That he was. And so that's always a meaningful thing. And that is also a bit of a flashpoint of the beginning of the church era. The beginning, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, as things begin to explode and people begin to believe. So we talked about that, spent some time there. Mm-hmm. There was like a Jewish festival, like a ceremony, like a bar mitzvah, like happening right there.
Something. I don't think it was quite a bar mitzvah because there were several
different kind of youth. One if it was.
Yeah.
But they were all gathered there and they had a table and there was a reading from the Torah and there was some beautiful singing.
Yeah.
Really, really beautiful singing. And
the guitar and just a lot of joy.
Yeah. And there was like one guy, like a rabbi or whatever, really beautiful voice. Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, I did too.
As we opened the book of Acts and just kind of read from the point of the coming of the Holy Spirit and Peter preaching the first evangelical message where 3,000 people came to follow Jesus that day. And then we went to lunch.
Yes, we did.
In the Jewish quarter. And that was like an opportunity to everybody just kind of go do their thing. And there's shops and restaurants and stuff all around there. And so not necessarily, like, it's kind of congested. I wouldn't say it's like a leisurely thing, but it's a free time thing. And we did have lunch. And then we walked from the
had
Jewish...
Had some good coffee today.
Yeah. I had some good, like, baklava thing.
Yes. See, okay, that was fun because we went to that same shop 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have some spices. Maybe I shouldn't say that. They should probably be thrown away by now.
I don't know about that.
But I have bought some spices that I cook meals for the family.
Yes.
And went back and there they were on the shelves. That's just always fun to see.
Like, mm-hmm.
This is the place.
Shopkeeper remembered.
Yeah.
And remembered us, and that was cool. And then we walked down through security. You gotta really go through security around the Western Wall and the Temple Mount and stuff. And so we went through security. And we're able to go to the Western Wall.
Yeah. Or the Wailing Wall.
The Wailing Wall. And that's really all that's left. There's nothing left of the temple, but this was a major, like, retaining wall. An entire platform built by Herod. This is kind of all that is left. This retaining wall that is known as the Wailing Wall. And, yeah, we got the opportunity to go and pray there.
Yeah.
If anyone that wanted to. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always go and pray there.
Yeah.
I always go and ask for help there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did.
And Ezekiel wanted to go with you. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Christian and his kids and boys, and it was, yeah.
Oh, I bet that was.
It was really, really sweet to see them put their hands on the wall and pray.
Hmm.
And I
didn't know that. Now I'm gonna weep.
Oh, it was really moving.
Oh.
And I always just go put my forehead on the wall and ask for help. So I did just ask for help, and I always just find that to be moving.
Hmm.
And, yeah. So we did that. And then, we went to the City of David, which is this very, very ongoing archaeological, work, like archaeological work that is profoundly expanded since the first time I ever came to Jerusalem. In some of the most difficult places to do archaeology, some of the most congested area to like dig out and go layer by layer by layer down, down, down. But they're doing that work because it's been a curiosity, an archaeological mystery. Where, you know, there's so many layers to Jerusalem, but where is the beginning? Like, where is the city of David?
Yeah.
And I mean, so much of that has been found. So really, really old archaeology.
And we saw a peek of it the last time that we were here. They had just a little stretch opened, excavated. Well,
that's a different time period that you're talking about. That goes back to the Second Temple period, what you're talking about.
So I was talking about the same road, though.
That's first century, whereas the city of David is, you know, 1,500 years, like way, 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 way older than that.
I see.
But there were so many kings between David and the Roman Empire. So many people, so many conquests, so many changes of hands, so much building and development that happens over a millennia. But some of the original, like what was the city of David, has been found. And so that is an ongoing project. But what you're referring to is what just opened. Like, we got to walk this pilgrim's road. Everybody got to walk part of that. We took the time to kind of walk almost all of it, just to do the investigation, just to understand. Because it's brand new archaeology. It just opened like less than 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So we're some of the first to be able to go and see any of it. It's the ancient path from the Pool of Siloam up to the Temple Mount, which would have been from the Pool of Siloam up to the temple, and a very like a pilgrim's path. This is how you would go up to the temple. And so much of that original, like the original steps, the original pathway, they have found. It's just way underground. And so you're walking underground in this tunnel, but not like a narrow tunnel. Like, it's a big place where you get the context, but just walking the old steps, the old,
it's so crazy,
paver stones, like they are the original, like this Jesus walked on that path.
Yeah.
And on those stones, those actual stones.
Yeah. That have just been uncovered and opened up for the public.
Yeah.
To see.
And that's a long path. Like, I don't know that it's just been uncovered. It's just been made public because it's like a half a mile.
Yeah.
Just very fascinating. Very. I found it to be super curious.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And in some places, like, wow, millions of people walked this path, including Jesus.
Yeah, in some places you could see, I don't know, I'm not good at measuring like how many feet, but a lot of feet down and go, wow, there's, I don't know how many layers. I'm looking at several layers or how many years or
below that.
Below that.
So yeah, I mean, Jesus is in the first century. Jerusalem built up over the top of everything that David did, and even before David, the Canaanite periods. So down and down and down, all these layers go.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have been found. But there's this road that goes up to the Temple Mount that you can walk the path from the first century, the pathway of Jesus. Fascinating stuff.
And we did.
We did.
And that was the first for us.
Yep.
So that was cool.
And that's what we did today.
And then we came back to the hotel.
Yeah.
As our granddaughter says, the hotel.
And, man, that was a lot of steps that we got in. And
my feet are here to tell you.
Yeah. And so we're... It's not so much sleepy, just kind of tired. Like, it was a lot of...
I'm completely overstimulated.
It is that way. It is that way. I agree with you there. There was just a lot. You're taking in a lot, but this is a lot of people. So, yeah, that's the going on, the goings on. This was our old city day. And we saw a lot. Experienced a lot.
Yeah, and not part of the tour, but always fun to see, is a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, those always seem to be going on.
And today did not disappoint?
Nope. No. Those are always fun.
Yeah.
The joy and the celebration of it.
So we even got done a little earlier. We're getting done a little earlier.
Grateful.
And we're going to get some good rest tonight.
Yes.
I can feel it.
Tomorrow we will be going to the Shephelah, the lowlands. So leaving Jerusalem and experiencing like one more. There's one more region.
Which direction will we be going?
We'd be going southwest. Is what we'll be doing. And we will talk to you all about that after we do it. But that's it for today. Thank you.
No,
go ahead.
I just feel like this particular trip has gone by faster than any of the other ones I've been on.
Seems like it. I agree with that. Seems like it.
I don't want to do an injustice by calling it a trip.
Mm-hmm.
This pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like we got here a month ago. And it also feels like, whoa, didn't we just get started?
Yeah.
So that feels a little different.
We are where we are. So... we'll sign off for now. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for coming along. And, I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you.
And we'll be waiting for you here.
Tomorrow.
Hey, my beloved kneebenders. This is from Junk to Treasure. I've been given permission by Helen to... relay a brief message update from her. She says, of course, the Lord is very close to her. She's had some pretty rough going this year, kind of like mimicking last year. Her battle is very heavy and aggressive, and she's had some very low moments. There has been a few times that she's prayed and she's been filled with strength and energy to get up and cook and do some things with Pita. But we want to continue to pray for our sweet God Smile as she suffers with so much physical pain. So we just ask the Lord to relieve it and to heal up every single part in her body that causes this pain, that she may be relieved and healed with abundant strength in her body and repair and mending, that she will not have to suffer this any longer. We claim this in the name of our sweet Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, this is DR in Florida. I'm calling to continue to lift up Brian and Jill and all the DAB ministry team and all those traveling with them in Israel. And Father, I ask you that you would multiply their sleep when they're sleeping and their rest times. And I continue to invite you into their travels, and we ask you for abundant grace and mercy and safety in Jesus' name. Also, this is a shout out to Cowboy, who called in and spoke about his thoughts about what he sounded like when he called in. Huh, you speaking to me, brother? I have to laugh at myself, Cowboy, because I thought the same thing, especially my pronunciation of words. But just as Brian read today in Psalms 15, God delights in the prayers of the upright, his people. That's us. So trusting that God will help me every time I want to speak for him, I will ignore those thoughts and keep calling in. Also, I wanted to pray for Amanda, who I believe said had a tumor growing in her back. And we're praying that there is no cancer and that she would be totally healed and the tumor would shrink and dissolve. And we're praying for provision for her and her kids. In Jesus' name. I'm also praying for Elise, whose mom passed away recently, and she's battling anxiety and other emotional struggles. I pray for God's peace would always be with you, just as Jesus is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, we humbly acknowledge your sovereign hand over all creation. We recognize that every event, great and small, unfolds according to your perfect will. Grant us the peace that comes from trusting in your ultimate authority and wisdom. Help us to release our anxieties, knowing you hold all things securely in your grasp. Strengthen our faith to believe that even in uncertainty, your purposes will prevail. May we find comfort and assurance in your unwavering control, now and forever. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hey, family, this is Susie from Colorado. I wanted to call and give you guys an update and ask for some more prayers for my girlfriend, Joe, who lives in Alabama and has 8 kids, all under the age of 17. She took them all in as foster kids and ended up, adopting them herself with her husband, who are very strong Christians, and she's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she just wrote me saying, there's a small hallway on the way to my bedroom. Last night, after putting my knitting away, I walked down the 6-7-foot-long hallway between my bedroom and the family room, and between the 6-7-foot-long hallway, I was lost for 10 minutes and could not find the door to my bedroom. We've lived in this house for 27 years, yet last night I couldn't find the door to our bedroom. I felt the walls around me and couldn't figure out how to get in the room. After 10 minutes, I figured it out, and I woke up my husband, and we cried. And he said, "Baby, I don't mind taking care of you. I love you, and everything will work out." After that, the next morning, my 13-year-old son came in and said, "I just read the definition of Alzheimer's, and I heard that mothers sometimes don't know the names of their children, and I had to tell him, yes, that's true. So would you please pray for my girlfriend, Joe, and her family? Thank you so much."